penalty of a criminal offense unless that person is going directly through. So for you to walk along the river levee is now a crime, thanks to a 6-1 vote by our city council last year.
I can only feel like weeping for the cruelty that this demonstrates. And I have to weep for people that are so fearful that they have to make this kind of choice.
Yeah, I admire your ability to have those kinds of feelings. I just tend to get enraged and cranky about the whole thing. And of course, we are trying to change it. We have a petition circulating which requires 3,700 signatures, actually probably around 6,000 signatures because of the tendency they have to find bad signatures on registered voters. This is a petition that would make it legal for people to sleep in their vehicles, legal for people to sleep in non-residential and non-beachfront areas, or even in those areas until the city council restricts them. It would maintain, unfortunately, the camping ban, so you couldn't do what you say is indeed a basic human need, to set up your own structure, which you can do in an area that has, what, 1,000th the wealth per capita of the United States in Nicaragua?
Again, it is, I don't know what to say, Robert, the cruelty that is killing children in Nicaragua. I can't tell you the number of children that die in my arms because they're brought to us too late to save, or they're malnourished and they die of starvation. This is a cruel world. And it seems that the cruelty has the upper hand, evil has the upper hand, and it seems to have it here in this country as well. I think people, Robert, I think maybe I have a little different drift on things. You talk about anger. I am an angry person. I'm a Chicana. I fought my way out of the ghetto. Rage has been a motor for me. But I also realize that if we're going to change anything in this world, we must do it nonviolently. We must do it with love. It doesn't mean that we're soft. It doesn't mean that we're pushovers. But we, each person that votes in an unkind way is a human being, has goodness in her. We have to be able to reach to that goodness. You know, if I didn't think people could be converted, I would give up. I mean, you look at the cruelty, you look at the death and the destruction in Nicaragua. Now, those policies are being done by human beings. Certainly, they're in structures, but they're human beings. We have to try to reach those human beings. And if I'm so angry with them and screaming and acting like an enraged person, they're not going to hear me. So I, who have people dying in my arms with great regularity, have great rage. Every time a baby dies, I have great rage. I also feel that people do cruel things because they don't know any better. I have to believe that. So we have to even love our enemies. Today is Easter. I am a Christian. I must learn to try to love my enemies and try to put my anger aside and try to speak to the goodness in those human beings and in a patient way, tell people who are voting for death of people who are going to lose their lives because they don't have shelter, but to speak to the people who are making unkind, cruel decisions and bring them to the truth of goodness. Because I think people want to be good, but they're fearful. Robert, people are fearful.
Well, I agree with you, although when I'm talking to hard-boiled politicians, I'm less prone to spend a lot of time trying to love them, frankly, than to turning to other people who are not in that position and talking to them.
Absolutely. We have to love and we have to organize. And we have to take power away from those who abuse power. And people, we have to act like a democracy. And if people are in power and are doing unkind, unright things, then that power must be taken away from them, or they must be pressured into doing the correct thing. I mean, that's why you have elections. That's why we have a democracy in this country. That's what it's about. It's about people organizing and the consciousness of what is good and what is correct and what is human. We have to take that power. Now, hopefully, we take it nonviolently, but that power has to be taken if we're to have a truly human society. And I think if we're going to save this planet, I just spent Good Friday at at the Livermore Laboratories, I was absolutely astounded, speechless, to see that even though the Cold War has been dead for 10 years, this country, United States of America, is producing new generations of nuclear weapons with an even bigger budget than before, at the same time that people are hungry, people are not sheltered, drug addicts are not able to have programs, alcoholics, to help them in their withdrawal, to integrate them back into a more human society. Well, this is madness. This is absolute madness.
This is a business as usual in the United States, and it's gotten worse, as you've seen. Even in California, where the voters push for minimal use of something like medical marijuana, for instance, for alleviating pain, you have the federal government going after people with civil suits. You have the state government going after them with criminal prosecutions, and you have the impact. You have the Santa Cruz Cannabis Club has closed down. You have San Jose, where Joan Baez's brother was arrested and is facing felony charges for his trying to get medical marijuana to people who need it. We're not talking about recreational use, which I think is just fine, and certainly much less damaging than alcohol or anything of that sort. But for God's sake, the use of people who are in serious pain. Now, if people cannot support the right of people who are in serious pain to get medical marijuana here in the United States, their own relatives, how can they possibly be expected to be concerned about Nicaraguans that they will never in their lives see? They don't speak their language. They're thousands of miles away. We keep struggling anyway.
We have to awaken people to goodness. I have to keep saying that, Robert. And I think we have to do that with more and more organization, more and more power of the people, more and more pressure for a human society. And, you know, we're not just talking about human beings. We're talking about the degradation. I live in a country that's being emptied. The forests are being emptied out. The weather in Nicaragua, we've had terrible dry periods because the forests are being emptied out. Why is that? For profit. What does it mean, a dry period? It means that this last bean and corn crop has been totally lost. That means that there is hunger. Now that's because of greed. I have neighbors that eat only tortillas with salt when the bean crop fails. When the bean and the corn crop fail, I have neighbors that eat a boiled yucca plant, a root plant, and with salt, and that is their meal. And that's what they feed their small children, and that's what they have to subsist. Well, why is that? That's because the greed of the big lumber companies is coming in and emptying out the forests and changing the weather. It's all connected. So I just feel that we have to look at the causes of homelessness here. We have to look at what's happening in Nicaragua. We have to look at our forests being emptied out and I think we can save ourselves. I think we can save this planet. But we have to bring out our humanness and we have to bring out our goodness. And apparently the people in power are very reluctant to give up position. Rich people are not voluntarily going to give up their money. But I think we can curb that greed by people organizing. And everyone except the ultra-rich are being affected. So many middle-class people, as I mentioned, are 1 or 2 months away from being on the street if they lose their job. If a factory, people organize, or a union wants to make a harder bargain with a company, the company runs off to Mexico, and now the company is running off to Nicaragua. That puts people in that town out of business. That puts out of work. That puts people in that town on the street. It's all part of the same cruel world. I know we can save this world. I know we can save it, but we have to organize. And those of us who care have got to work with others. We have to organize, put pressure. We have to look for alternatives of truth and good living.
You're listening to Dorothy Granada, just back from Nicaragua, who is down there every day helping people who are so poor you couldn't believe it, but who when I went down there in 1987, the first thing they did was they put me up. And I wasn't with some official group. I was there, and they were kind to me. They shared what they had, and it often seems that's true in this country too. The people who are the poorest seem to be the most generous, strangely enough. Dorothy is going to be speaking on Friday, April 17th at 7:30 p.m. That's next Friday at Loudoun Nelson Center, and she's going to speak on the use of nonviolence in the remote region of Mulukuku in Nicaragua, where she's been a nurse and a community organizer for 10 years. She was awarded the 1997 International Pfeiffer Peace Prize for her lifelong commitment to nonviolent social change. And had we more time, we'd talk about how the Sandinistas fit into nonviolent change, since they indeed took power in a revolution. And that's not really a contradiction. That I remember what Gandhi said about that, although, you know, he's not, you know, the greatest man in the world, but he certainly was a good man, did some good things. He said, you know, that do it nonviolently if you can, but the worst crime is to do nothing. It's better to find justice violently than not to find justice at all. Is there anything more you want to say, Dorothy? Do we have your endorsement of the sleeping ban initiative repeal?
Oh, I certainly hope so. You absolutely do. It is the first and most fundamental right. Shelter is the first and most fundamental right to be a human being on this planet. I absolutely do endorse it.
Well, thank you. And is there anything you want to say additionally before we hustle to get the last 15 minutes of this show done?
I would like to say that to people, don't despair. It is possible to change things. I work with people who have been torn apart, displaced by war, who have lost families and children, children and parents to war, who are hungry, who see there's no objective reason for them to hope. But they say, yes, we will survive. We will rebuild our lives. We have hope. And people in this country, many of whom have even more resources than my friends and neighbors, but yet I see such little hope in so many places in this country. I say, don't lose hope. Do what you can. Who is your neighbor? Who is the person outside your door? Who are the people that need shelter? Do what you can to help these folks, and don't despair, and don't give up hope.
We have a call coming in, and hopefully a question or two for you, Dorothy, before you go.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz with Dorothy and Robert.
Well, hey, Robert, David Grace. I just wanted to get in on the tail end to express my appreciation for what she's done, but I also had a separate subject. Just by the way, as the not losing hope, as well, study history. Many of these same problems have occurred throughout history, and the only solution I can see is just to realize what has been attempted before and either adapt on it or make certain we don't repeat those mistakes.
Hey, I don't know what to say about that. Do you have anything specific, David? You have something else you want to talk about, right?
No, this is a separate subject, so I can wait on hold there when you finish up.
Sure. Stay with us.
Sure.
So, Dorothy, thank you for being with us, and here, it's time for a hug here.
Well, I tell you, Santa Cruz people give the best hugs. I wish you well, Robert, in your struggle with the homeless, and in your struggle to open the hearts of people who are in power and people who can lend support. Homeless are human beings, and they're often demonized, and I think we have to break through that. We have to realize that we are, many of us, 1 month away from that condition, and we have to see them as individual human beings and make humane decisions, because they may be us next month.
Thank you, Dorothy. And again, check out next Sunday at April 19th. There's a reception from 2 to 5 and a talk at 3 p.m. at Loudoun Nelson Center, where you'll be able to talk with Dorothy Granada and Gretel Sequeira. Again, we're talking about what's happening in Nicaragua, which was a place where there actually were significant changes, unlike 90% of the world, where there seems to be a major system operating which operates for the benefit of the few and causes misery for the rest. Thank you, Dorothy.
Good luck.
And we'll get back, getting back now to our phone line. Hi, caller.
Yeah, how do, Robert? Yeah, David Grace. I'm in San Francisco. And, yeah, I just wanted to let you know, although I'm not in San Francisco right now, for the engineers down there, I'm down in Aptos, and we can get you just fine. We're a little bit up the hill, but
that's great.
We can pick you up. So, and it's not just with a car radio. It's an indoor boombox, so to speak.
Yeah,
so,
for those who are listening, you should be, yeah, we actually are... Our range has expanded. We're at 96.3 FM, and you're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz. And, hey, if you can hear us in San Jose, we definitely want to hear about it, but Aptos is certainly excellent as well.
Yeah, we've been able to, just as you get off the highway exit there at Aptos, you know, you start to generally lose it on car radio, but you get up, start climbing the hill, and you can start hearing it. Hey, I wanted to mention, are you aware of the... there's a new petition going out. It's dealing with the nuclear power plants. Are you aware of the electric deregulation petition?
You know,
that's going around?
I may have seen it, but I'm not really educated on it. Is there something you want to say about it?
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. There's a huge scandal going on. As everyone has seen for the last few months, electricity deregulation ostensibly is supposed to be this great and wonderful thing for us. But there's a scandal involved in it, in that the way it's set up, we, the ratepayers, are supposed to be paying off the nuclear power plants. And this is under the normal deregulation that's been set up. Well, actually, let's start again. If there was an honest deregulation, we would get a 50% price break. We in California are paying about 50% higher than anywhere else in the country. And so if there was an honest deregulation, we would paying half as much as we would. Under this phony deregulation that we've got that kicked in on January 1st, we're going to be, instead of getting a 50% price break, we're only going to get a 10% price break. The power company is going to keep 40%, and they're going to use that 40% to pay off their bad investments. And specifically, they're going to pay off their nuclear power plant.
Any suggestions as to what we can do to deal with this?
Oh, yeah. There's Ralph Nader, the Green Party, a number of other organizations are working on a petition drive specifically to stop this. Now, the petition drive has been going for a number of weeks, and I believe that the time is about to run out at the end of this month. So if you see a petition related to the deregulation of electricity, do sign it, because we need hundreds of thousands of signatures in order to get it on the November ballot.
Thank you, David.
And what this will do is give us the opportunity in November to vote to get our money back on this nuclear power plant issue. It won't turn around the whole deregulation, but it'll turn around the major parts to get the investors in the power companies, PG&E and Southern Edison and whatnot, to have to pay off their own nuclear power.
Gotta go on this one now, David. My time is almost up, but I appreciate
you're
briefing me on that and letting us all know about it.
Our pleasure.
Thank you.
Hey, good show.
And you are tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3. This is the final minutes of Bathrobespierre's Broadsides here on Free Radio. I've been promising for some time to play a brief interview with a man named Steve Switzer, who perhaps will be listening to the show even as we speak. Steve has done a number of things. He's a chess player. He's a musician. He's a photographer downtown. He's a man who's lived in his vehicle at different times. And I interviewed him about two or three weeks ago, and I thought it'd be of interest to you to join this interview. So here's Steve Switzer.
Okay, now we've seen today cases of merchants sending out police, or presumably police acting on behalf of merchants to harass people who are, who fit a certain profile. They're hippies. They look kind of hippie-esque. And this guy had some pipes. Now we're talking to a man whose profile is well known to many of us in Santa Cruz. He's a photographer, he's a chess player, he's a musician. May I introduce you by name?
Yeah, I'm Stephen Sullivan. I'm the Pied Piper, and I've been around 20 years playing music on the streets and never expecting anything in return. And then the Downtown Association does this commercial, and my image is shown like 300 times, and I go to them and I say, you know, what can you give me? And they say they don't want to give me anything.
So what is your response to this, Stephen? What are you doing to, should we say, balance the scale?
Well, it's against my nature to go after people in this fashion, but, you know, these people have just been, like, totally, like, tight on the issue. And in the meantime, I'm fairly broke, and so I think it would be appropriate that that they gave me something, and I've taken them to small claims court for $1,500, you know, and I hope that that's enough.
And when is this going to happen for folks who want to come and support your case or simply observe this process in operation?
I believe it's on Thursday, April 16th.
That'll be in small claims court. What time of day?
I think it's in the afternoon, 1 o'clock, I believe, yeah.
So 1 o'clock, April 16th in small claims court. If you want to see the Downtown Association hauled in by a man often on the streets, a man who performs on the streets, a man who has been in Santa Cruz for how long?
It's 20 years.
20 years on the, here, certainly longer than many merchants. Come on April...
Yeah, that's on April 16th.
At 1 o'clock, probably, you have to check the court calendars. I suspect it'll either be in the basement of the county building or it'll be in the main courthouse area at 701 Ocean. Anything you want to comment on about this?
Well, I really hope that they will settle out of court because this is very embarrassing for the city, you know, because they finance the Downtown Association. They use my image and my music and to promote the downtown, and they use my image to make Santa Cruz look good, and then they try to make me look bad. So, you know, there's a real paradox here.
What are they going to do, do you think? Any predictions?
I don't know. This Linda Steinhau, who runs the Downtown Association, is a really tight, I wouldn't use the B word, but, you know, she really pissed me off because, you know, she treated me like dirt. And I said, what have you done for downtown musicians by and large? And, you know, she just, like, didn't want me there. And it was really embarrassing.
When did you speak with her?
On several occasions.
And you say she was rude and not particularly hospitable?
Well, I don't know if that's her basic nature, but, you know, I guess she's that way when anyone's asking her for money.
Well, individuals of a certain social class are perhaps frowned upon in this situation.
Well, I don't want to be classed with any class of people, but, you know, I mean, I am a musician, and I am an accomplished musician, and they did use my image and my music on this commercial, and, you know, they have to pay up. They have to pay the piper, basically.
And hopefully they will, Mr. Piper. And that was an unpaid commercial announcement from Steve Switzer. Maybe it sounds kind of a strange thing to follow Dorothy Granada here, but, you know, we're talking about how poor people in Santa Cruz are treated by merchants, and I think we want to see that from different perspectives. So if you're interested in Steve Switzer and his attempt to make sure that the Downtown Association, which apparently is using his image, gives him the same kind of fair return that they would, let's say, the return that developers from out of town are getting, tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars. Get yourself down to the court proceedings on April 16th at 1 p.m. on Thursday. That's Steve Switzer. Also, if you're interested in Brian Clark's case, that's the man who I think he's accused of resisting arrest or possibly interfering with an officer, one of those two charges, for essentially challenging Officer Deputy Thurber in Thurber's, what sounds like, kind of outrageous harassment of young women at Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center. That's happening the next day on Friday, April 17th at 10 a.m. in Department 7. That's Brian Clark. And if anything you've heard today, you've missed the time or a phone number or a place, if you give me a call at 423-HUFF, 423-4833, I'd be happy to give you that information again and pass it on so you can pass it on to others or show up yourself. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, and apparently we were given a little extra time here. The next show has not shown up, so I'm going to proceed with a little extra activity here from Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. We have a number of interviews we haven't been able to play, and one of them was from Keith McHenry, who's an activist who has been away from San Francisco, which has been the area he's been in for the last decade. He was working with Food Not Bombs, trying to feed hungry people and change the priorities of the city, the state, and the nation, indeed the world. Food Not Bombs is an organization that operates here in Santa Cruz. It's feeding even now as we speak down at the town clock every Saturday and Sunday, down there from 1 to 2:30 or so every Thursday and Wednesday. Wednesday and Thursday from, I think it's 4 to 5:30. And hey, my time is up. I was about to play another tape, but it looks like Reckless is here, reckless as ever. And she has brought, she's brought lots of goodies. Well, I'll play a little bit of a Keith McHenry interview until Reckless is ready, and then we'll roll right into her show. The beginning of this tape may be a little blurry, but hang with us. Keith has been in Lawrence, Kansas for about 4 months working to free Leonard Peltier, who's one of the Amnesty International prisoners of conscience. He was jailed after an FBI frame-up in the mid-70s. He's still in jail. But the fact that Geronimo Pratt got released finally after years in jail himself, another prisoner of conscience, gave some hope. Anyway, Keith talks about his different experiences in the last 4 months and how homeless people are being treated in different cities. Let's hear a little bit about that.
Squatters there were like really forced out of North, but they're still within Geneva, quite an active squatting scene. And in many cities in Germany, there's like there's like info shops that are basically in squats in almost every six or any times at all. And a lot of Food Not Bombs chapters cook in these squats, bars and stuff, and but they make their own beer and things like that.
How's the free radio movement going in Europe? Any comment on that?
That too had the danger of the few free radio stations that remain are licensed now, so they're no longer really free. Although they're free to do whatever they want, pretty much, but there is like a lack of political edge. There's no longer any sovereignty in the independence.
What about free radio stations across the country in your travels in the last 4 months?
That has been really exciting. There was like new radio stations popping up in Boston area. There was like the Cambridge Free Radio as well, and the Alton Free Radio was still happening. And I heard that a lot of people showed up to the free radio conference in Philadelphia, and that there was a lot of really good things going on there. I wanted to go to that, but I couldn't make that. But so that was exciting. And I heard that was a really, really good scene. And even though the repression, I spoke like on the free radio, Black Liberation Radio in Richmond, Virginia. That was very interesting. It was in a guy's house, and it's sort of like broadcasting in suburbia because it's like houses that are, it's sort of like a suburban house, but it's actually right in the, near the center of Richmond. And so there's been, I think the free radio movement's really thriving from what I've seen.
Now, what about, we've read recently that there have been studies that have shown that in Geneva, or was it Zurich, I'm not sure, the use of, they've sort of set up these places where people can go and shoot up heroin in comfortable circumstances, and that's resulted in a huge decrease in crime, people being brought back into the mainstream. I don't know if that's such a good thing. In terms of work functionality, have you followed any of that, seen any of that in terms of your travels, and also any word about the cannabis clubs, which, as you may know, are under heavy attack here in California?
Well, the cannabis clubs, marijuana is decriminalized in a lot in Northern Europe in a lot of places. I didn't see anything about these things for, people shooting galleries. I didn't see anything around that. I do know that one guy I stayed with in the squad in Geneva had been in jail for 18 years. For terrorizing a family and that's taking every single thing in their apartment out and loading it in a truck and driving away to sell it. And he was, so he held his couple at knife point and stole everything that they owned in their apartment and got a maximum sentence of 18 months. And he was allowed to take his computer with him to jail. They give you a key to your cell. And, you're free to come and go. And at the end, when you're done with jail, they pay you essentially what would be the same as about $1,000 a month for the first 2 years you're out of prison.
Now, what is this some sort of
weird liberal namby-pamby scheme to...
They have this idea that if they do this, the crime will be decreased because then people won't be desperate for...
I mean, what do you think? What's your analysis? Does it have that effect? Have you talked to people?
Overall it does. I mean, there are no guns really to speak of in Europe and so on. It's a much more mellow place, and people are more laid back, calmer, in general, and it's.
Did you spend any time in Eastern Europe?
Yeah, I did. I went to an besides the East Berlin, I went to an anti-fascist protest in Seefeld. Former East Germany, and that had approximately 5,000 riot police and 5,000 protesters, and we had to be ID'd and searched before we entered the town at a police barrack roadblock, and we were also searched and ID'd when we got on the bus in Berlin.
What was the function of the protest?
It was to protest the fact that 500 protesters had been arrested there like half a year earlier, protesting against the